Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
For those of you who don't know, our church here in Brisbane, actually, even though we're not in Asia, I consider myself a Polynesian, and this is Australasia. And so, Polynesia. Okay, I'm jet lagging, all right? So bear with my dad jokes. Our region here in Oceania, and I'm still trying to figure out how to say that word. I just call it South Pacific. It sits under this Asia region, so we call it the super region. And so it's everywhere from the Middle East over to here. And this man who's about to speak, he oversees all of our Every Nation churches within this region as the director of the ALT, the Asian Leadership Team. For me, hearing this man, I don't know if you realize this, Pastor June. I've known you now for 17 years. I don't know if you remember, but I came to a little conference in Guam when Pastor Taylor was in Guam, Pastor Taylor Stevens. I was this little snot-nosed brown kid that kind of got invited because Pastor Ken Du couldn't go to Guam. So he said, nah, champ, you go for us. And so I went with another friend of mine, and I had no idea where I was going, what I was doing. I met Pastor June. I met Bishop Manny Carlos and Pastor Joey Bonifacio, amongst other Filipino leaders at that conference. And it revolutionized my thinking, my life, that God could use somebody like me to be missional and to make disciples and to evangelize and reach my city. And for me, there's no better man to come and deliver a message for our generation, for our church, to empower us to go out and do what God's called us to do. For those of you who are relatively new here, we're the sort of church that believes that everybody's called out. We're not just called to sit. God's got a destiny for you and a purpose for you, but it's not just to make your life better. It's for you to actually be crucified with Christ to help other people find their destiny and their purpose in Him. So I want to welcome Pastor June as he comes to speak for us. Ladies and gentlemen, June Escasar, stand to your feet and welcome him as he comes.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Just go ahead and take your seats. Thank you so much. Very honored to be here. What Pastor Nelly mentioned, we came for the Oceania Conference, and it's an honor to be serving. I don't know, running 4 years maybe already, 3 years. So if not for the, I don't know if it's a temporary assignment where they annexed or they joined Oceania with Asia at the moment, we would not have been here frequent. But since we were given the assignment, we did not lose any time. In fact, I remember coming here for 6 days, hitting like 7 or 8 different cities or something like that. We were just going through a whirlwind for every city, so we will be able to meet all the leadership teams and the pastors just to start the relationship. And it's been amazing since the time we had our first cluster held in Christchurch. And I think we did it in Sydney, and now we did it in Auckland. We're looking at maybe possibly doing it in Fiji next year, because we have a new church plant. In this Oceania Conference, we featured many church plants. We have PNG, Papua New Guinea. I think it's very timely. We've started the work, the church, and it's its 7th week. And we have about 40 people coming already, and they just baptized like 12 local Fijian. I don't know if you know, this one of the most dangerous countries in the world. I've been there a few times. 70% of the women were either be physically abused or raped in their lifetime. 70%. So this is the reason why that nation desperately needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not normally organized crimes. They're just random criminality happening. But God has a great purpose for that nation. And amazing leaders are being raised up. Great testimonies have come forth from that. We have Tauranga in Australia, in New Zealand, and we featured also Canberra. Imagine in 9 months, they have 80 members. 80 people now coming to church. Actually, Joseph and his wife were once upon a time a part of the initial phase. They've been different places of finding. They're planted here. One of my very, very old friends, one of the most faithful disciples we have in church. And so I forgot, we have Perth in Australia, Pastor James, and they're also very new. They have about 40 people coming. So it's just a very encouraging time as we come together. We want you to know you're a part of all that's happening, not only in Oceania, but you're part of all that's happening in Asia and all over the world, because you're part of every nation. So I just want to also take this moment. I love coming here. I love the opportunity to serve with Pastor Nelly. I believe, I mean, his journey from all those, I didn't even realize you were as early as Micronesian invasion. We call it a Micronesian invasion of the islands in Guam. We are going to revive that again. You know, our churches are really doing well. We have churches in Saipan. We've just started the church plant in Pohnpei, in one of the tiny islands there. Our journey has been many, many, many years. And I've seen how not only Pastor Nelly's been used by God in the area of worship, composing songs that are now affecting our movement all over the world. But, you know, that's why we just sense, again, very strongly, prophetically, that it is not only in the area of music that God will use this man, this pastor, Pastor Nelly, but I believe he will be a voice. I believe he will be a great figure that will be such a great influence, not only in Australia, but in all of the Oceania region. So we're excited for what God's going to do. It's not sometime down in the future. I believe God is doing a quick work in the life of Pastor Nelly, and I just really want to honor him before you. He carries the weight with us. I love the fact that sometimes when there are tense moments that he's, you know, he is a peacemaker. The level of maturity that Pastor Nelly possesses and the respect of the whole region to him really commands great influence and respect, and everybody looks up to him. So again, thank you, Pastor Nelly, for carrying the weight with us in Oceania. God bless you, bro. Praise God. So I'm excited that Pastor Manny's coming here. He's a recognized prophet, not only in the Philippines, but in our entire movement. And I'm encouraged that he will be coming and sharing the word. Actually, as I was accessing your Facebook website, that's where I found out that you've actually, and Pastor Sam and Nancy is coming as well. Praise God. Well, this is my family, and I've been married for happily married, very much in love after 27 years. So we've been 27 years married with my wife, who is of Chinese descent, whose first language is actually Chinese, but that's a Hokkien Chinese. And she grew up in Zamboanga, so she speaks Chabacano, which is Spanish. And our common language is English. The second language is Tagalog. And my daughter, Rachel, 22 years old, is graduating this coming June 29. So I'm so excited, you know, the prospect of ROI. I mean, the prospect of being able to fulfill the plans and purposes of God for her life. And my son, John Daniel, second year engineering college, University of the Philippines. The greatest joy of my life is that they both serve Jesus with all of their hearts. And of course, another joy of our heart is Obi-Wan Kenobi, our dog. Okay, so praise God. Well, these are the next week, this coming week. This is the reason why we will be in Sydney, because the Asia leadership team will be meeting together. So these are the men that carry the weight for all of Asia. Let me put Asia in perspective. America is so big, all of North America. If the world was a village of 100 people, North America would only be 5 people. And as big as Europe is only 12 people, and as big as Africa, only 13 people. But Asia is 60 people. So that is how big our region is. And we just used to be called Asia region. When they joined Oceania, they called us the super region. So you guys made us the super region. So thank you so much. So these are the men, you know, Pastor Michael, Pastor Steve, Pastor Ruel oversee all the Middle East work. And of course, Pastor Timothy, Malaysia. Pastor Manny Carlos is the one coming here. Pastor Joshua is, of course, Australia, Sydney. Pastor Scott, he wants to make sure, because they say he has the largest church in Japan. He wants to make sure he's not the largest pastor, he's just the largest church, okay? Pastor Joey Bonifacio, now a senior pastor in Singapore. Pastor Sam Webb, who is our apostolic leader based in Hawaii. Pastor Larry, also Singapore, is now our Asia prophet, traveling and really speaking prophetically. Pastor Casey of Taiwan, me, of course. Jackie, our apostolic leader of all of China. China is 10 major cities. And this is Dr. Yaya, our pastor there in Indonesia, overseeing also about 8 churches. So these are the leaders. I took the chance because this is a rare moment for maybe many of you to see all these pastors. Hopefully they can all come and visit you. Today I want to speak to you as requested by Pastor Nelly. Again, this is a passion of my heart to put our local church in perspective. It is important for us to understand the very thing that beats in the heart of God, to understand God's heart for the nations. But there is a subtitle, they're developing a missional perspective. We love our local church. I want us to be committed to our local church. This will always be the base. Whatever it is we do in the world, we want to make sure our church is healthy, is strong, is growing, and has enough resources to be able to impact not only Brisbane, but neighboring cities, and maybe all of New Zealand, and all of Australia, and hopefully all of Oceania region, and maybe beyond Oceania. If there is a nation that has million excuses why we cannot touch the world, it would have been the Philippine nation. It would have been us. And I will tell you the story how and why a church that's struggling and can barely pay rent when we started, did it become a global movement that literally impacts the world. Our church alone has sent out over 10, maybe 15,000 short-term missionaries, and we have long-term missionaries in 42 nations of the world today. And this is part of our journey because I believe your church can become an apostolic and a missional church. You know, the dynamics of the church are two things. It is attractional because the Spirit of God is here, and when people come in here, they are blessed by the Word, they are blessed by the love of God's people, the care of God's people. They could sense God in the worship. They see changed lives. They see people that are filled with the Spirit of God, and it creates a hunger, a vacuum in their hearts to want God more in their lives. So that's the attractional side of church. I pray that everyone comes here will not come here unaffected. I pray everyone will be impacted by the presence of God. But there's another side to church, and that is the missional side of church. The Great Commission of Jesus is not just about come and be blessed. It is the commission is go and proclaim. In the whole book of Acts, while there was revival happening in the church, remember the commission given before revival hit them. What was Jesus' commission in Acts 1:8? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses right here in Jerusalem. I'll start the revival here, but it's not going to end here. It's going to go all over Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we could learn valuable lesson even from the book of Acts. But the kingdom of God had forcefully advanced from Jerusalem all over the world. And so this is God's desire for us. Now, what better place to start to put things in perspective than to revisit why we exist as a church? We don't get too many opportunities to share this except maybe on a membership class or maybe during a leadership class where we're able to unpack our mission. So I want to take this quick moment and this short moment just to be able to refresh your memory why we exist, because this is the filter. Our priorities, where we spend our money, what activities we pick and choose are filtered through our mission and vision and values and our culture. So this is our statement. It says we exist, every nation exists, to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. Let me break it down by asking four basic questions so it sticks in your mind, okay? So the first question that's asked there is, why do we exist? There's only one answer to this question, and that is we exist to honor God. We love our leaders, and as much as we celebrate gifts and diversity and we honor each other, this ministry will never ever revolve around a personality. We will always honor our pastors. We will honor the service. But apart from Christ, we are really nothing. We love our mission. But this church does not revolve around our mission. It must revolve around the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. What secures us, what brings security to our ministry, I believe first and foremost, is the foundation that we believe that everything we do must bring honor and glory to God. Movements have come and gone, and if there's one lesson we learn from history, it's this. That when leaders become messianic and they begin to get intoxicated by their own successes, that's the downfall of any leader. So we remind ourselves every single day, apart from Christ, we are nothing. And it is not tempting when you have a small ministry, small facility, but man, when you are by multiple thousands or hundreds of thousands and you have awesome facilities, the lesson learned, greater, the higher we go, the deeper our humility and brokenness and foundation must be. That's the only way to secure that God's favor and blessing will continue to be upon us. Amen? The second question is, what are we called to do? The answer is two things. We are called to plant churches and campus ministries. We love church. Campus ministry is not a side issue to us. It is a core issue to us. That is why anyone involved in campus, we should do everything we can as a church to make sure they are empowered, they are supported, they are affirmed, they are encouraged to impact the campus. Are we reaching campus because we are a campus ministry? No, we are reaching the campus because of the stewardship God gave us to reach the future leaders of the nation. 65% of the youth are in the campuses today. Amen? If we want to impact this nation, we reach the next generation of leaders. Why? Their values will become the values of the future. The values they learn today is the values they'll use for parenting. So it's important that they have godly Christian values. For those working in the campus, they should do everything they can to make sure they build up the church, because they're simply conduits. They are outsourced, so to speak, to reach the harvest fields in the campus. The end goal is to build a church. So we collaborate, working and partnering together, establish churches and campus ministries. How do we build? Three things. Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered. We want to make sure everything points to Christ. Spirit-empowered, it's not just by sheer human wisdom and ability, but by the Spirit of God. And socially responsible, meaning that we become relevant to our culture. The Bible says we're salt and light. If we lose our saltiness, salt is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled. And the last question is, where are we called? And the obvious answer to that question is every nation. Would it be the greatest irony of all time to call our ministry every nation, and yet it is optional for us? The reason we call ourselves every nation, because that is how dead serious we are about reaching the nations. In fact, let me tell you this. Some of the most formidable, most difficult region in the world, and the largest by far, is Asia. It represents 60%, and it also roughly had 60 nations in it. You know why 60 nations? If you put China, India together, that's it. If they all jump together, there'll be earthquake. If all of the Chinese and Indians jump together like this, I think we will all feel it. I'm glad they don't. That's too many of them. And if you put in Japan, Indonesia, Philippines, if you throw them into that mix, and Pakistan, wow, that's why it is the largest region. So you come to think of it, how in the world could we plant a church in Pakistan, in Sri Lanka, in the Middle East? There's so many nations there. Dangerous nations. North Korea, is that even possible? It is possible. We've been there. We've gotten inside North Korea. We've worked with people that we have church. And so, out of the 60 nations, I'm happy to tell you, we are in 48 of them. We have 12 more nations to go. And this year, because we're targeting three countries, we're going to hit Azerbaijan, Cyprus, and Maldives. Somebody has to sacrifice and lay down their lives to reach Maldives, right? I could sense some of you are getting a call from God already. So that will be down. By the end of this year, we are down to 9 more nations in Asia. So I'm just thrilled as to what God will do. So let me tell you something. You know, it is not our idea to go to the nations. It's God's idea. God's no respecter of people. No matter how small you think you are, if you step out in faith, God's going to bless you so you could be a blessing to the nations. So from the very beginning, this might surprise you. You know, missions is not optional. From the very beginning, it has been in the heart of God to reach all nations. In His passion, He made sure that when He established His covenant of blessing among His people, He included with it the responsibility to reach the nations. And this is why I'm laying this foundation so basic, so that we would not miss it and think missions is just some kind of a department that maybe every now and then we should be involved. If you feel like we're doing mission because it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and many other books of the Bible, it's we actually see it the other way around. The reason we even have a Bible today is because God had a mission. If God had no mission, He would not have given us the written revelation of His Word as an instruction for us. The reason we have church today is because God had a mission. If God had no mission, He would not have given us Jesus or prophets. There would have been no Messiah to expect, and there would have been no church. But because God has a big mission, the redemption of humanity, He gave us the Bible, He gave us the church. So it is far bigger than what we think. It is not just a department, although we do have a department that manages our missions, but it is all encompassing. Take a look at the kiss covenant with Adam. The promise of blessing is there. He said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God wants nothing less but all the earth. He wants nothing less but all nations of the world. But before that can happen, what does it say? We must be, as a local church, be fruitful. We must increase in number because our capacity to impact the world will be dependent on our human resource, manpower resource, financial resource to be able to impact the world. What did God say? I will bless you so that you could be a blessing. So I want you to see the order. God is not unfair. He didn't just tell you be a blessing without blessing us first. This is not prosperity gospel, my brothers and sisters. This is prosperity with a purpose. This is being blessed to be a blessing. So I want every Christian in this room to have a healthy perspective of the blessings of God on your life. Don't just pray, Lord, give me my, so I can get a car. We really need my family really needs it. Lord, give me provision so I can pay mortgage for my house. If all we're asking from God are things so that our needs can be met, my needs, my family's needs, there's nothing more selfish and self-centered than just yourself and your needs. We have to start praying for overflowing blessings. If you're a businessman, do not be afraid to ask God boldly for His blessings, because this is about blessing the world. Amen? God has no trouble. He's not intimidated about blessing you, so that because His purpose, He wants to bless you in every way so that on every occasion you could be a blessing to serve His purposes. His covenant with Noah. You know what happened? God blessed. The Noah generation was rebellious. You know what happened? God regretted. He created man. He wiped out all of humanity. When the flood receded, finally, He reestablished covenant with Noah. This is a new generation. There's not no many people at that time. And what is the commission? There's no plan B. God recommissioned Noah, the same commission He gave to Adam. And this time He said, God blessed Noah and his son, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. God has no plan B. But what did the Noah generation did? Instead of spreading out throughout the earth, what did they do? They don't want to spread out. They rebelled against God. They wanted to make a name for themselves. So they built the Tower of Babel. So God said, Genesis 11:6, if us one people, they speak the same language, and if they've embarked to do this together, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible. So God came down and confused their language, and that is when mankind separate and spread out throughout the earth, because that is what God wanted. So what did God do? He raised up a missionary people by the name of Abraham. And what did He say? Said, I will make you, He said this to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. He said, I will bless you. I will make your name great. Every time you encounter that word great, greatness, that is God wants to make you influential. I will make your name great so you can be a blessing. Now, of course, the rest of the verse says, I'll bless those who bless you, whoever curses you, I'll curse. And then He said this, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Guys, we're blessed by God for a purpose. If you think, but Pastor, that's about Abraham. We're different. We're in the New Testament. Galatians 3:9 says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Which promise? This promise. That I will bless you so you can be a blessing. How can you fulfill your end of the bargain to bless the nations if you are not blessed yourself? Going to the nation costs tons and tons of money, but that's only money. Amen? So I want us to have a faith and have a healthy perspective of God's blessing. Abraham's son Isaac, what did God say about him? I will be with you, I will bless you, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Does God have a plan B? No, he does not have a plan B. What about Jacob? I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Here's a simple point. God wants all nations reached. The starting point is Psalm 24:1. This earth does not belong to the devil. It does not belong to human governments. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, how many of you know if you own something, you have every right to do whatever you want to do with it, right? But if you don't own it, you don't really care about it. But if you own it, you look at the world differently. When you travel to nations, you see it is not just another nation. This is God's nation, redeemed by God, purchased by the blood of Jesus. This is why missions is more than a program. It is personal. Why? The Bible says, with his blood, he purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He purchased them with his own blood. When you purchase something, it becomes yours. All nations, all peoples are purchased by God. They belong to Jesus. They don't belong to the enemy. If we have another subtitle for the Bible, it's called The Empire Strikes Back. Because God sent his son, injected him in this enemy-occupied territory to regain what belongs to him. Amen? All people has been redeemed, and therefore we have the responsibility to proclaim the gospel, regardless of what people group, what race they may be. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me the nations, and I will give to you as your inheritance. Another version says, ask of me the nations, and every nation will belong to you. Just ask me boldly. You know, since 2013, we literally ask God 3 countries per year. Up to now, 2017, we are on the dot. God has faithfully provided workers. God has opened supernaturally the doors of the nations. And so, this is the reason why we've accelerated our work in the most difficult regions of the world. Psalm 22:27 says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. Why? Salvation belongs to the Lord, and he rules over all the nations. Psalm 67:2, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations. Not just some nations, not just a few nations, but all nations, and then the end will come. Saying that in a reversed way, the end will only come when this gospel of the kingdom will first be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So what is the greatest indication that we are in the end time? That the gospel of the kingdom has penetrated the world. Sadly, popular people have died. The likes of maybe Michael Jackson, Princess D. I don't know who's the latest. You have a very famous Australian actor at one point. He is a very, very famous actor. And then there's many more people that seems like in a moment's notice, because of social media, it seems like the whole world heard about them. Our Lord Jesus died 2,000 years ago with all the wealth of the church, with all the technology and the tools, yet 42% of the world has never even heard the name of Jesus. 42. I'm not talking about not accept Christ. I'm talking about not even hearing. How Romans 10 says, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So really, but this is God's promise. I love this declaration that no matter what happened, and some of us are so sensationalized by end times, terrible times will come in the end times, wars and rumors of wars and antichrist and all of this, the beast. Let me tell you something. If you only see the negative signs of the times without seeing the unprecedented opportunity for harvest, you only saw half of it. Because God also says, along with the evil days, along with the terrible days, God also said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In Isaiah, he said, the mountain of the Lord's temple will become chief among the mountains. All nations will stream to it. The Bible says, pray that my kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Do not despise days of small beginnings. The kingdom of God may look like a mustard seed, so insignificant, but when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants. It is unstoppable. Amen? We are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Luke 24, 47, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations. Romans 6 and 26, so that all nations might believe and obey Him. And in Acts 1, 8, I wanted to, there's so many ways Scripture portrays the importance of us planting churches, expanding the kingdom of God. But this is important for us to see because God's promise is not only a geographical expansion, but for us to be able to deal with indifferences in our own hearts. When God said, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, your Jerusalem is where you are. You don't necessarily have to go home where you are, but where you are right now is your Jerusalem. Then it expands to Judea, all of Judea, and then Samaria. For the Jews, these are serious implications, and for us too. Because for a Jewish person to go to Jerusalem, yes, sir, no problem. All Judea, no problem, yes, sir. Samaria, no way, sir. Bunch of compromising, unclean people, traitors. Let me tell you, God makes no excuses. He wants us to reach people we don't like. In fact, we don't have the right to preach to people we have not learned to bless and love and pray for. We cannot be selective in missions. Lord, I'll go if. You know, up until this point, when we talk about Jonah the prophet, he was a faithful prophet of God. He was not some backslidden prophet. He was a faithful prophet of God that go where the Lord told him to go. The problem was he did not like the Ninevites. Those people, they are wicked. Why would we, Lord, why do you even think about saving them? Destroy them. Send fire and brimstone. He ran as far away as possible, opposite to where God was calling him. But you know, he who began the good work in you, he will finish. You have a choice whether the short way or the long way. Jonah chose the long way. You know, every one of us will go through the dealings of God in our lives. Jesus, even Jesus was not exempted. He went through how many days in the wilderness? 40 days. The children of Israel were stiff-necked and difficult. How many? How long did they stay in the wilderness? 40 years. You have a choice. 40 days? 40 years. Your call. But God's not going to give up on you. He made a promise. He will finish it. So I'll tell you this. You yield to God. When you are marked by God, no matter where you go, opposite direction, you are marked. Not everybody is marked, but if there are people that are called to go, to touch, literally be a messenger for God, to go to nations, other cultures, you know that. Some of you, even before, when you are still young, you know. There is that sense of calling, even though you have not understood the gospel. And for those that do, we'll do whatever we can to be able to encourage and support them. I think I've shown you this. I'll skip this. So that's the picture of where we are. Oceania, even though it's only 1% of the world, has 40 million people. Can you say with me, 40 million? You know when Jonah went to Nineveh, you know why God was so moved? You know why God sent Nineveh? Because He said this. Because this is a great city of what? 180,000 people? And yet He called it a great city. Our cities today are how many times more than that? Millions. God cares about people. So where next? This is just to sow a vision for us. We might be at our infancy, but it's good to lay this foundation so that we embrace a missional call from God to be a blessing to the nations. Amen? Even if we are small, we have no excuse and say, oh, maybe 10 years from now. No. Now we can pray, we can be involved in whatever way. I'll show you how in a moment. But I want to take a look at this. This is Asia. From our Asia, actually, Greater Asia include Middle East and Central Asia. But for this purpose, the way every nation divides our world, they just assign Asia to us this way. This is the sad story. We've started the work in all of this. All right? So including a special autonomous region of Hong Kong, Macau, Tibet, and U.S. territory of Guam and Saipan, and the only nation left for our Asia assigned to us is Maldives. You know why we're going to the Middle East and Central Asia? Because we're helping now other regions to reach their region. So that's basically what we're doing. Now I want us to look at Oceania, how it's broken down. Australia's over like 24 million people. And if you follow the rule of thumb of for every 500,000 people, there should be at least one church. For a city of 1 million, we should have at least 2 churches in the city. This city alone of Brisbane has about 2 point something million, so we should have at least 5 churches in this city. Amen? If you think this is just nice being around in one church, believe me, guys, we're going to get to the place where we'll be multiple thousands, we'll be planting churches in every part of this city, and not only that, neighboring cities like Gold Coast, you could see there. So where we are right now, we're in Australia, we're in Fiji, which is a population of almost 1 million people. New Zealand, 4.6. Papua New Guinea, almost 8 million people. I'm glad we've started work in all of these nations. But these are the other islands named and mentioned in the Every Nation Church Planting Initiatives. Because this is part of our region, we want to be faithful to reach every single one of this nation. How many of you can picture every one of this nation, we will have Every Nation Church? We are dead serious. We're dead serious about reaching all of them. I will not go through all the population. You could see it there. But then there are 2 other islands. 14 are United Member Nations, so that's 10 plus 4. These are all UN sovereign states. But there's Cook Islands and Niue, partly part of New Zealand. And these are also considered as nations that we have to go. So we're out of the 14 we've reached for, we're 28%. I hope every passing year, we are increasing in our percentage to reach this. That we plot out the cities that are over 300,000 in the Oceania region. So Australia would have, Sydney would have 5.25 million. So we would be planting at least, 11 churches. At least in Sydney, we have 4 now, 4. In Melbourne, that's 4.6 million. We are hardly getting, I think we're in for a good start, but we only have 1. We need a lot more churches. Brisbane, 2.38 million. Probably need to have 4 or 5 churches here. Perth, 2.14. We've just launched the work in Perth. Adelaide, 1.34 million. Gold Coast, 705,000. Come on. Somebody had to sacrifice, right? Somebody had to lay down their lives to reach this. And by the way, if any one of you in the nations that I've shown you, if you represent one of those islands, even if God's calling you to migrate to Australia or New Zealand or something like that, I want you to be an active advocate for your island. You know why? God didn't make you a Samoan as an accident. God didn't make you a Tonga as an accident. God has a purpose. And I want you to do everything you can to make sure you, in Tagalog, you make kulit. Okay? You always, Pastor, when do we start a church in my island? You know? So that finally, you know what, guys? Our trend today, we don't even have to wait for church planting. Every one of you, you know what we say? Start small groups. Everywhere. Go, go. You want us to pray for you? We pray for you. Go start small groups. If you can get it to 35, 40, you call headquarters. And we will do what is necessary to make sure a church will be planted in your city. Anywhere in Oceania. Amen? So that's our deal. Praise God. So in New Zealand, we have Auckland, 1.4. Wellington, the green ones are ones we do not have churches. So these are all open. Maybe right now God speaking, I could sense He's putting a bullseye target in some of your hearts. Hallelujah. We have to start work there in Wellington, Christchurch, and then Oceania, Port Moresby, and Suva, Fiji. Praise God. It's all white. We've started the work in those places already. So we can prioritize this and start with this because these are the bigger parts of our vision. But here's the vision. Once we reach these nations, we start multi-service, multi-congregation, multi-site churches in its city because we need our base to be big, to be stronger, to have a lot of resources, and then reach every major city from there, every major campus of the nation, and then plant churches in many cities. Practical steps to do that, continue to honor God, make disciples. You ask us in the Philippines, what do you do, guys? How did you do it? It's not magic. We just keep honoring God, making disciples for the past 33 years. And the result of that is amazing. Raise a lot of leaders for the church, the campus, and church plant teams. We should be committed to leadership development. I'm so glad there's so many people at Leadership 215 now. Be committed to grow our churches where we can significantly touch the world and give generously and sacrificially. Not all of you will go to the mission field, but you will be the senders. You will be the supporters so those people can go successfully. Our story in Manila, like I told you, we can barely pay rent in those days. In fact, because this is just the last parts of our slide, 33 years now, 31 location, 152 week in services, 85,000 members. Just Manila alone. 152 from a handful of students that can barely pay rent. You guys are 100 times better when you started than when we started. You know why? When we started, out of all the membership of 120 people, only one person had a car. It wasn't even his. It was his grandfather's. That is how poor, literally how poor we were. And to think today where we are and the buildings that have been built and the churches where we are located is amazing. So we have, if you notice, we have 10,400 small group victory leaders. So when we have a small group meeting, this is our leaders' meeting. So we recently just had one in arena of SM in Mall of Asia. So for outside Manila, we have now 80,000 churches. We have 14 brand new church plants. This is not including Manila. That's just outside Manila. And our campus today, from just a handful few, now 331 full-time campus missionaries. Just last year alone, imagine, not only saved, but 2,008 baptized. So in other words, there are probably more people that have gotten saved. So it's been really, it's really been amazing. There are many reasons why we plant churches. Certainly, it's a catalyst for God's global redemptive mission. It's a strategy for God's great commission. It's the main means for making disciples, the main avenue for redeeming and reshaping culture. It preserves the world's spiritual and moral decay because we're called salt and light. But the ultimate motive of why we do this is not to look successful among our peers. It's not statistics that we can say we've added another number of nations. But the ultimate purpose is really for the glory of God. That the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters covers the sea. One last final story as I close. And veiling the mystery. Why such a poor, struggling nation? Why all of a sudden become a global force that impacts literally the world? In 1986, something happened to us. In the midst of our poverty, this revelation hit us. Simple revelation of sowing and reaping. We decided we cannot remain to be a field nation. We have to become a sowing nation. No matter how much money you put in the field, even though the field is the recipient, the field never reaps. If it's the Australians who sowed, it's the Australians who reap. Even though the recipient are Filipinos with millions of Aussie dollars, the reaper is always the sower. So for many years, because of our poverty mentality, the mentality of poverty is, come, give me, bless me, we're poor, please help us. But you never get out of the cycle of poverty. As early as 1986, we decided we're going to become sowers. With all the faith we can master, we, outside our tithes and offerings, we made a decision. We are going to start giving a mission offering every month for every year. And then we will evaluate and renew our pledges. Until today, we're doing that every first Sunday of the month. We told the people, do not make a by faith pledge. Don't say, Lord, I'm going to give 1,000. Lord, where will I get the 1,000? No, you better know for sure that that's coming, because once we commit that, we'll be faithful giving that. So with all the faith we can master, we raise a staggering amount, $200. That's all we were able to put together. I'll tell you, we quickly divided the $200 into 8 units of $25 each and sold $25 to an American missionary to South Africa in Cape Town. We sold a missionary $25 to a missionary to Japan. We sold $25 to a missionary to Argentina, to Mexico, to nations of the world. Let me tell you, since 1986, our finance starts to go up. And the $200 translates today to over $100,000 a month that Philippine money is giving out to the nation. That money cannot even be spent in Philippine soil. That is all to be sown to the nations. I'll tell you guys, we have humble beginnings than you. God is no respecter of people. You can become a global movement that can impact the world. Amen? And this message is just sowing that seed that we are beyond just a local church, enjoying each other, that we have a global purpose to be blessed, to be a blessing to the nations of the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to sow this vision and to sow this seed of destiny, that we are not only to be blessed as part of your covenant of blessing, but that we are blessed to overflowing so we could be a blessing, a channel, a conduit to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. May you bless this church, Lord God, above and beyond what it can ask or imagine, as it set its heart and its gaze on the harvest fields of the world, the campuses, the cities, the regions of Australia, New Zealand, and the island nations. Father God, I pray you prosper this church, you prosper individual people in this church. Bless the works of their hands. Lord God and Father, I pray when prosperity comes, they will be focused, Lord God. They know that you bless them for a purpose, and that is to be a blessing. And so, Lord, I just rebuke the devourer. I pray, Father God, you open the floodgates of heaven and pour out your blessings on your people. Bring promotion, bring increase, bring open doors, Father God, that this church will be tremendously blessed by the Lord. I commend them into your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen.
Come on, give it up for Pastor June. Amazing, amazing message. I hope you caught that. I hope you caught what the Holy Spirit is saying. And let me just say, as your pastor, that we're committed to being a sower church. Like, we're not the sort of church that will slumber and just receive. I think, you know, Australia has no excuse. We are a blessed nation. We are a first world nation. We are a prosperous nation. But for us to sit back, there may be poverty in a nation like the Philippines. And I've seen some of the worst urban poverty up close in Manila and places like Tondo and... But there's the difference between poverty and a poverty mentality. It's a shame when in a first world nation that is so blessed, when we expect to, you know, and even attending church, we embrace a mentality of, I'll join a church for what I can get out of it rather than what I can bring to it. And so, you know, for those of you who are here today, which is all of you, I want to challenge you to take to heart what Pastor June is challenging us towards, not just as a church, but for yourself. God has a mission for your life. God didn't just redeem you and save you by His grace for nothing, that His grace actually empowers you to help others experience the power of salvation that is brought through the gospel. And so, you know, I asked Pastor June to speak on this because, you know, it stirred up something in me. And the moment Tina and I landed here, we knew that the Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast were open game. We knew that we would not just be a single site church that would just grow as a comfort zone with one service and have our holy huddle. It'd be terrible as if, you know, like a football game or basketball game. If you go to a basketball game, you take a timeout and then you get in the huddle. How stupid would it be to get in the huddle and then break and then go straight to the changing room without actually getting on the court and playing the game? That's what God's calling us out of, is not just this church, but the church, the capital C church in Australia. He's awakening our church to what He has destined for this nation and for this region, to be a mission sending region. And I'm committed to it. I mean, it's the reason why I moved my family over here from Singapore. It's not just to play church, but it's to help you find the destiny and the purpose that God has for you, not just to benefit yourself, but how many of you know that you actually benefit from being a blessing towards others?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.